I'll record this and then put it up on, take it home and put it up on my website. Okay, so welcome to this class before Rosh Hashanah. I'm so excited. So we're on the cusp of Elul and Tishrei and ready to move into the month of Tishrei. So just one idea of an interesting thing that I just heard the day before yesterday. It says really, 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 Elul is really considered one long yantif. It's a month-long yantif. We think of it just in preparation for the high holidays, but it's really the high holidays in Elul. And the only reason it's not an actual yantif is we don't have the capacity to go through it. Because just think how people feel after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Simchas Torah. People are it's funny. On Simchas Torah day at Shul, that morning service, people are going like this. It's like, I don't think I can just, I'm shuled out. I'm yuntifed out. I mean, it's like after a simcha. It takes a lot of energy to have a simcha. It's challenging to have challenges in our life, and it's challenging to have a simcha. And we can only kind of muster up enough enthusiasm, focus, and everything else to pay attention.
Much less the food.
And the food, that's right, and the eating, and the cooking, and the preparing, and
exactly.
Everything else. It's a lot. It is a lot. So we do, that's 1 month. So we couldn't do 2 months. So it says, Hashem gave us a favor for now, that Elul now is just called preparation, but really it is a yantif, the whole month of Elul. It's really a whole thing. So hopefully with what we've been able to focus on for this past month of Elul and focusing on the different ideas that are related to it, it's helped us a little bit get more out of it as we go into Rosh Hashanah. Just think, you know, not to put ourselves like, what, pat ourselves on the back, but we can pat ourselves on the back, is you think about all the people who are coming to Rosh Hashanah when they walk into the synagogue, which is amazing that they're there, but this, that may be one of the first times that they're able to give any thought to it at all. And just the more preparation we have, the better. So we're in a better shape.
I have a little thing that I do.
What do you do?
You'll all know how to get into my phone now, because I could never remember the Jewish year. So now that's my code on the phone.
Oh.
And I'm so excited because I'm going to change it very soon. But it's a great way to remember, because it's so hard for me to remember that.
That's so funny.
I always think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Is it 5779?
Yeah. But if you use it as your code to get into your phone, then
you'll always
remember.
That's great. I love
that. Always like a
number. And you can hack your phone.
And you get to change it every year.
Except for us.
Yeah.
That's like a really good thing. Can you, can I change the subject? What was Sunday? Sunday night?
Oh, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Yes. Slichot.
And what is
that?
The big... Yeah.
So slichot. Well, first of all, the word slicha means excuse me or pardon me, and it's part of it, preparation for Rosh Hashanah. So the Sfardim, they do slichot, which are extra penitential prayers of showing Hashem we are really into this. We are sorry, and we want a fresh start. We really want to be the best who we can be. The Sfardim start on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I saw a video of Sfardim gathered at the Kotel. I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, the person who posted it, I'm like, what is this? The entire plaza at midnight was completely filled, and everyone singing together.
Have you been there for that?
And it was, it would be like one in the morning. So the reason it's at night like that is that it's supposed to be as early as possible. On the when it starts. So for the Sfardim.
Like what we did last morning. Year with the, and he awoke early.
Exactly, and he woke early. So like, what's early? So early is called Chatzot. So Chatzot is midday or midnight, and it's halachic time. It's around midnight and around noon. So that's why the service has to start after Chatzot, midnight, to be the earliest dawn of the next morning of when you can start. Some prayers. So now what happens, so they kick it off on the Saturday night, which is then the beginning of the next week, the week before Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah starts on Sunday night, that would be only like one day. So they back it up a whole week. So that's why it started this past Saturday night.
And what are you supposed to do? I mean, besides go to services at
midnight. Services at midnight, and there are these extra special slichot prayers about forgive us, God, and with the 13 attributes of mercy, and it's an extra focus. It's intensifying our preparation.
And then does the preparation change throughout the week? So is the week preparation more intense then?
Yes.
And there are more services, and there's
yes.
another midnight gathering?
So it won't be, it's only midnight to kick it off, and then the rest of them are early morning. So now shul, for example, at Dot, instead of starting at 6:25 in the morning, starts at 6.
So purposely they put it back.
Right, because they have to include all the additional slichot prayers before shacharit even starts. Okay.
So is it all forgive me?
It's a whole thing. God, you are amazing.
It's not for the Yom Kippur.
It's not not a vidui. It's not that kind of thing. But it's not a confession. But it talks about, you know, forgive us and heal us and help us. And honestly, the only time I've ever gone has been on the Saturday night event. Synagogues always struggle to get people to come, and some synagogues make it earlier because they can't get people to come to a 1 o'clock in the morning service, so they'll do something late, like at 10:30 or something like that, just late. And sometimes we'll have a program to kind of get people out and then have some refreshments and then put the service in.
My mother-in-law went every year.
Did she really?
I know, she went.
Wow, that's
amazing.
She
must have been really special for her.
So, that's what it is. So it's an intensification. It's a little bit only in the different direction, like how we have starting with Rosh Chodesh Av, the first of Av, that we have an intensification of the morning for the 9 days before Tisha B'Av. We just intensify. So that's what the whole Slichot week, this week is a whole intensification of preparing for Rosh Hashanah.
So what are you doing more intense than you were doing the week before?
Well, I'm not doing any of the Slichot prayers, I'm sorry to say, because I'm not going to shul, because those, I think, need to be said with a minyan. So I'm not doing that. I would say just that, for me, the natural process, just because I'm preparing classes, that I am intensifying my focus and writing down my menus and things like that, which for me, because there's physical preparation and spiritual preparation, the whole thing. And just being more mindful of it all. And plus all the Divrei Torah that I get online are all focusing more and more and more and more and more. So I just kind of immerse myself in it.
Okay, thank you.
So that's what I do. So thank you. All right, so now that we're immersed, and we're immersing ourselves even more, I think Judaism is also very wise psychologically. We hardly ever do anything, there's a few exceptions, we hardly ever do anything where we do something abruptly. We always kind of, we have to build up, you have to prepare, because there's an understanding that we can't just fall into something. You need some preparation, you need to get yourself ready, you need to build the capacity to take it in. And Judaism is pretty much structured like that. And same thing for the ends of things. We don't, even like when Shabbos goes out, we have Havdalah, but then there's a Malava Malka of escorting the queen, and you can say Havdalah up until Wednesday. I mean, all these things were like, we don't just end abruptly. The only time we see that as different is in Israel, and I'm not so sure it's like necessarily it's not, quote, a Jewish thing. I mean, it's not Jewish, but it doesn't fit the standard Jewish mold. When you go from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzma'ut and turn on a dime, that turning on a dime is unusual in a Jewish. We tend to do things slowly. You know, even the davening itself, the initial prayers, even the fact that in the morning when we first wake up, we don't mention even God's name initially when we say Moda'ani, when I'm grateful. We refer to God as the King, because we haven't gotten up, we haven't gone to the bathroom yet, we haven't washed, we're not quite ready. So everything is designed to kind of bring us, so we don't get spiritual bends and do things too quickly. So
interesting.
It's I find it really helpful, which is why I cannot walk into a service late, not because I'm like so religious. It's so disorienting and distracting to me, which is funny because I did my whole life. I always went to school to shul at 10 o'clock at Rosh Shalom. That's why I walked in. I didn't even know what
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock for the Torah reading. That's when you come in. In fact, I didn't even really know what the rest of the service was before then. Now I'm so used to being there at the beginning. When I come late, or even like when I came with my grandchildren late, I'm like, I can't even get. It's literally like walking in the middle of the movie. I can't even get comfortable in it. So it's very strange.
See, it's like working out.
You have to warm up. You have to warm up.
You have to go an hour.
Stretch. Yeah, you have to just warm up. Exactly. So this is all warm up. So warming up for the big day. Warming up for the big day.
So is there a fast day after
the day after Rosh Hashanah? Next Wednesday will be a fast day.
And it's a short fast day, right?
Yes.
It's from sunrise.
Sun up until Havdalah time.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. But it's a fast day. It's the fast of Gedaliah. Of the Gedaliah, who was the governor of Jerusalem, who was murdered by another Jew.
My dad's middle name was Gedaliah.
Gedaliah, I remember. Yeah, mm-hmm. Gedaliah.
So you don't hear that very
often. Yeah, it is not a common name. It is not a common name. So he was a very righteous person. He was warned that someone was going to try to kill him, and he didn't believe it. He did not believe that a Jewish person would do that to him, and so he was killed. And then after that, that just also led to the destruction of the temple, which is because there's other people, unfortunately, who have been murdered and murdered by fellow Jews, and we don't observe that. But that was another step in the destruction of and the exile of the Jewish people. So we commemorate that.
Okay.
So, all right, great questions. So now we are on getting ready for Tishrei. So I wanted to point out something that's interesting. If you look on your chart with your letters, do you have the chart, Pam?
I think you have one.
Okay.
Here, you can give me yours, sweetheart.
Oh, but you have one at home?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I just want you to see that when we did the month of Elul, we're going to look in the first column.
Mm-hmm.
The letter for the month of Elul, if you remember, was the letter Yud, which is the tiniest, teeniest letter. Do you see that? You can barely even see it on there. It looks like a spot. And we talked about humility and that's where the smaller we see ourselves, the more we can become, basically. I heard that as a phrase the other day. I thought that was really nice. The less we are, acknowledge that we are, and not in a negative way, but the less that we acknowledge that we are, the more we can become. If we already think we already are all that, then where else do you have to go? That was the name of Esav. Esav comes from the word asui, which means made and done. Since they talk about him being born with a beard and hair and all this, whatever. However, basically saying that he came out and he perceived that he was done. Like, I'm done.
He's already there.
I'm done.
Got my hair, I'm good.
I'm good. And just as a sign of like, I'm done.
Man has hair, he's good.
He's done. And that we are supposed to see, and that Jacob says Yaakov was smooth-skinned. Just as a metaphor of smooth-skinned meaning young and not done. And so we don't want to consider ourselves done. So the month of Elul is where we say, I have room to grow. I have room to grow. So if I have room to grow, that means like I'm not where I could be in a good way. Then we get to the month of Tishrei, and we have the letter that's on the opposite end of the spectrum, which is the letter Lamed. And the letter Lamed is the only letter that when it's written goes, quote, above the line. So it goes above the line, and it's really the letter that's like a periscope. And if you were to...
I love that letter.
I love that
so
letter.
It's so bizarre that I just love it.
I love the letter Lamed. I love it. And it's a great letter. What did you just say?
No, it's just weird. I just love that letter.
I do too. I love the letter Lamed. And it's the llama. The llama. Llama. That it's the letter that is for the month of Tishrei, which is interesting because you would think that maybe it wouldn't be that. You would think it would be some other letter that has to do with being humble because we're in the season of repentance and things like that, that whole theme. And yet this is telling us, no, you have to see yourself as big. You have to see yourself as great. You are a great, amazing person. There may be some things that are getting in your way, but you are a great and amazing person, and you need to be able to see yourself as that Lamed. And the path to it is through what the letter means. So the word Lamed means from the word Lomed, which means to learn and to teach. So to learn and to teach is what makes us great. That's how we discover our inner greatness, is to learn about it, learn the wisdom of the Torah to help guide us, learn about ourselves, learn about our strengths, our weaknesses, to learn. And then we can teach what we learn by role modeling, because the Lamed doesn't do anything, you could say it doesn't do anything directly. It just is. It's like a lighthouse. And in the Aleph Bet, it's in the middle. And so it serves as a beacon to the other letters that surround it. When those letters are surrounding it, then it shines its light on them. And that's what we are here to do, is we're here to shine our light. We're amazing, and we have to be sure to see ourselves that way as a Lamed.
Beautiful. That is a beautiful...
Good thing you're recording this.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear that again.
Yeah, could you repeat that?
That's good. I like that.
It is...
Wow.
So what are we doing during the month of starting with Rosh Hashanah and what we're supposed to be thinking about still in these remaining days of Elul? We're supposed to be thinking about how great we are, how great we can become, how much greater we can become, and what we need to do that. So when we ask Hashem for things, we're asking specifically so that we can have those things so that we can fulfill our greatest potential.
How do we know what we need?
So there's some basics. So if you notice that the davening is basic, it doesn't talk about particulars, though a person can ask for particulars in their own life. So we ask for the basics: health, finances, you know, peace, shalom bayit in our homes. It's like, Hashem, I don't want those things just because I feel like having them. I want them because to the extent that I have them, I can function better. So we're asking that for purpose. If there are specific things that we need, like I need to really work on my anger. I need to work on my, even things that are in the physical realm. I need to work on, you know, not procrastinating. I need to work on this and that. Please help me. It's an evaluation, but it's purposeful evaluation, not for the purpose of beating ourselves up, but for saying, what's standing in my way? Because Hashem, you know, and I love this metaphor, it says, Hashem has a picture of you on his refrigerator.
It's a pretty big refrigerator.
It's a very big refrigerator.
Although it's probably one of those refrigerators that has a picture that moves.
Moves, yes, it rotates.
Like,
yeah.
It's like technologically
advanced
now.
And
so
it's there.
Everybody's picture. It takes like a day.
And the picture that's up there is the picture of how Hashem sees you in your best way. And that's it's like how, you know, when like a parent looks at a child and like, I see your potential. Or a teacher to a student, I see you. You know, anyone who's worked with anybody, anyone who's known anybody can see, I see your potential. It says Hashem sees it as if it were already actualized, and that's the picture. Our goal is to bring ourselves up to the level of the picture Hashem has of us. Now, he doesn't have a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu up there for me. He doesn't have a picture of Moshe. He has a picture of me. To live up to that. That's
sometimes
what I want to
become. Sometimes it's really hard for us to see our potential, though,
it's
and other
very
people
hard.
See it more than we do.
I think that's true.
Which is why we're supposed to tell other people what we see in them. Even people, like we went, we saw the play Beautiful. Speaking of Beautiful, we saw Beautiful last night. Oh, my.
I have heard of that.
Oh.
Carol song.
It's Carol King.
Carol King. Yeah. It was just fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous from the beginning until the end. Yeah. And she, who had this amazing voice, incredible songwriter, her friends, I mean, I'm assuming this is the truth of the story, she didn't see herself as a singer. She wrote songs for other people.
Right.
And then somebody said, oh, no, you have a really good voice. No, not me. I could never sing for these people. And she's like at a bar, and the guy says, you know, you should sing this. We play your song, so you should. Oh, no. And her friends go, she's doing it. And they basically push her on stage.
Right.
And she's like, not whom? Not me. So you think, you know, you listen to Tapestry, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, she's so amazing. And how could she, was she deaf that she can't hear that she has an amazing voice? We don't see it. We don't see our flaws, and we don't see our greatness. We prefer to point out to people their flaws that they're not seeing. That's much more interesting to us. But we're supposed to point out their greatness, because pointing out their greatness will help them overcome their flaws. So we're supposed to point them out and tell them, you know, you are this. You have that. Now, we know that when parents tell children this, they don't believe us because they think that we just love them. I would tell my kids that. It's like, oh, you're just saying that because you're my mother. I'm like, no, I'm telling you. This is what I see. They don't believe it. And
deep down.
They hear it. They do, absolutely, they need to hear it. They do need to hear it from their closest people, because that's they, but they have to hear it from other people too, who they consider unbiased sources. And we can be that for other people. So we are supposed to help other people get to their launch. Is anyone really hot besides me?
No.
No? Okay.
Do you want me to play?
That's so unusual for you.
I know.
You know it's hot if you're hot.
I know. No, but I don't want anyone to be cold.
Sure, you.
We'll do it for a minute.
Okay. It's okay. Get some air. Maybe just air. I just need to flow. Oh, just for clumped. Okay. Okay.
I love that word.
I do too.
Llama doesn't remember.
Right, yes. So I just thought it was such a, you know, I love the show at many, many levels, but just like, just the message at this time. And here she is, you know, she goes to Carnegie Hall and she's like a world renowned writer, singer. And her talent was, you know, she didn't just like write one song and sing it, that she just oozed talent, and yet she didn't see herself as, I'm like, oh, you know, I just write songs. I'm like, and that even when she broke up with her husband, she's like, oh no, I can't do lyrics. I just do melody. It's like, no, you can do lyrics too. And just, we tend to, in fact, very likely, we probably tend to undervalue and underestimate ourselves in the very area in which we are really designed to excel. That because there's a Yetzer Hara, there is an opposing force that's trying to keep us from reaching our potential, that we need to struggle against. And that force is with us, some people, their whole life. You know, you hear about actors or actresses or people who have performance, you know, anxiety and stage fright and all these things, and they get what they can push themselves to get through it. People who are shy, people who are filled with doubt and everything else, is like, in the very thing that you are supposed to be doing, that's what you need to do. So the month of Tishrei is really for us to kind of see ourselves, and really to use that lamed also as the periscope, because our vision is limited by just like, you know, kind of like, I see what I see. I remember as a kid, I always wanted a periscope. I always thought that was like the coolest thing. You know, even to be able to see around the corner, right? I thought that was like the... I had really high aspirations in my life. I want a periscope. But I think it's a good, they're so cool.
That was a thing.
It was a thing. And if you think about it, it really is a metaphor. I want to see beyond what I see. I want to see more. And I want to have that perspective. I want my perspective elevated and broadened. And that's what a periscope does. And that's what we're trying to do during the month of Tishrei, is we want to see more. And we need to... and to broaden our perspective, to see more of who I can be. Because Hashem already sees it, and he's like, I'm trying to tell you something here, but you're not listening. So we're trying to see that. And that also involves then paying attention to things that are getting in the way, which include the voices in our heads that tell us, you know, that we can't do it, that we can't be that, and that we're not going to be that, and who do we think we are? And you'll be rejected, you'll be disappointed, etc., and just to go for it. So that is the month of Elul.
You know, it's amazing.
Well, the humility comes from saying, and it's all from Hashem. Mm-hmm. It is all from Hashem. The ideas we have are coming from Hashem. The talents we have are coming from Hashem. I didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't. Carole King didn't create her voice. She did not create her musical talent. The only thing, what she could take credit for is that she applied herself, but even the physical energy that she got to do that also came from Hashem. Mm-hmm. So to say thank you, it's thank you, Hashem, for letting me be the recipient and the vehicle for all of this. I'm so grateful. So that's what, like, not that that's prophecy, but that's like what a prophet is. A prophet is somebody who clears away all of the, you know, barnacles off the ship, and all of the schmutz in the pipeline, so that he or she can be a vehicle for Hashem's word in this world. It's like, we're called B'nai Nevi'im, the children of prophets, that we are all, not that we should be out there on the corner prophesying about anything, but we all have, Hashem is working directly through us, and as the Jewish people, Hashem is working very directly through us, because that's been that was the promise. It's like, I am going to use you as my vehicle. So that's why it's more important for us. Everyone should be doing this, But in the meantime, for the Jewish people especially, because we are God's main vehicle. So if we're God's main vehicle, we need to keep the channels clear so that we can really reach our individual potential. That's
our
goal.
Can we tie it into going into fall and how that, because now I see we're moving.
We're moving in the encampment.
And Ephraim.
Ephraim
is the, so how, what was going on at that time?
And like why the fall?
Right.
Okay, exactly. So it's interesting. Fall and west and east are similar, even though they're opposite, right?
In directions.
In directions. Mm-hmm. So we have, if you look at the east, we have Yehuda, Judah, which is Pesach. And that's a creation there. It's the creation of the Jewish people. And it's spring and renewal and growth. And then we have the west, which is where the sun sets. But that's the end of the day is also the beginning of the next day. So one end is the beginning of the next. So that's why our days always start at night. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker. It was evening and it was morning the first day. It doesn't say it was morning and it was evening the first day. The Torah says it was evening and it was morning the first day. Our day starts the evening before. Like erev Rosh Hashanah, everything starts at night. So where the sun rises and where the sun sets, that's also why we have our services, our morning and evening. We have afternoon too, morning, afternoon, and evening. But those times are considered critical times of transition. And the type of change has a different flavor to it. So if we think about like the difference for getting ready for Pesach versus getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. In both cases, so like in Pesach, we're getting rid of chametz. Things that have, so chametz isn't bad. It's just we can't have it during Pesach. Its expiration date has passed. You have to just get rid of it. Like the things that are in your refrigerator growing whatever, they weren't bad. They're bad now because they're expired. So you have to get rid of it because it's not good now. So things that served us well, it was fine. But now it's not. Find this that people, I think we've mentioned it before, for example, people who survived the Holocaust. Some people were able to survive. I mean, who knows why anybody survives? It's all in Hashem's hands. They survived because they had some qualities that allowed them to really survive. Those same qualities may not work so well in a family, in an office, or whatever. It's like, that was good for then, but you cannot use it now. So there are things that are like that. That's
like
Pesach.
Winston Churchill was great during wartime.
And then
afterwards he was like kind of lost.
People have their moments. Yeah. You know, they have their moments and at a certain time, you know, we have a
interesting
relative, a friend, you know, that he was very aggressive and assertive and he survived the Holocaust, but it does not work well in a family. You know, you cannot do that.
Same like, thing with veterans coming home that have been in the war.
That's right. You know, you develop your sharp, whatever you're on, you know, and never mind the post-traumatic stress, just even the qualities themselves, it's too much. Or people who are successful, you know, you're the big CEO, but you try using some of those tactics with your family. I'm thinking of like, you know, the Von Trapp family singers, you know, Captain Von Trapp, it's fine on the ship, it does not work with your family. So there are things that have an expiration date or have a, okay, line up, Liesl, whatever, yeah. So you can't do that, right?
You guys are amazing.
So we can start now with our songs that break into the hill.
Yes,
Starline.
I know. That's the right song.
That is right. Okay, this time I got the right song.
Better than last week.
Okay, House of the Rising Sun and Aquarius. This is the Dawn of the Age of Aquarius.
They're
not the same song, which is why I'm just the famous rock music expert that I am. Okay. So Pesach is about things that are starting again fresh. It's fresh. Spring is about fresh. Fall is about
harvest.
Letting go. Because like the leaves are, you're getting rid of things that are they're not good. It's a different kind of change. I always love the fact that school starts around Rosh Hashanah. you know, the elementary school, at least in our days when it started, mm-hmm. the day after Labor Day, it was so often, like around mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah. You'd get your Rosh Hashanah shoes and your Rosh Hashanah dress, and that was your first, that was your back-to-school outfit, too, and that's, that was your fall thing, and then you got your white patent shoes and your spring dress at Pesach, and that carried you through the summer. And that's kind of how this, the seasons work. Mm-hmm. So it's a different kind of change of... it's a different kind of change.
Unless you have saddle shoes, because it works both times.
Oh, yes, which I hate.
Black for the fall and the white for the spring.
So, but isn't the thing about fall is it's not really a sense of letting go as much as it is of, it's another sense of preparation for the winter. I mean, because the trees have to lose their leaves or they can't survive.
Right.
So that it is a different kind of, if you're talking about they're different and they're the same, that spring and fall can't exist without each other.
Right.
Because what happens within all of that is so important to the next one.
Exactly. And the truth is each one is preparation for the next one.
Right.
Spring is preparation for summer, summer is preparation for fall, winter. Right. So it all, you know, it all flows together, which is why these cycles in time, so being able to be present to what's happening now. So in the fall, the days are starting to get shorter. In the spring, they're starting to get longer. So now we're doing it's just a different kind of a focus where we're going more internal, and we're starting to, you know, just, I don't know, cocoon, just be more inside and really think in a different way. But it's also a beginning, because it's also the beginning of something new is going to happen with a new year. This is why did Hashem create humanity in the fall? So there are two Rosh Hashanahs. There's two beginnings, new beginnings. There's the creation of humanity, which is Rosh Hashanah, and then the creation of the Jewish people, which is the spring, which is Pesach. So we have two creations, and there's, you know, the rabbis debate like which one was the more of the creation. But they're considered parallels of Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei and Nisan are considered parallels, but just coming from a different angle.
So when people say that Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world, they really just mean humanity?
Humanity. It's the sixth day of creation. It's not the first.
Right.
First day of creation is 6 days beforehand. So that's because the purpose of the world
might be today.
I was going to say that might be what it, I forget which day it is. Yeah, it might be we're getting close.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday was it? Well, thank
you. So if it was Sunday, if it's Sunday night, then it would have been
Monday night.
Okay.
We should be celebrating all week.
I know.
Seriously. Like the bugs and all that,
we should be celebrating
their creation. And
So the focus, the reason Rosh Hashanah is the creation of humanity is because all of that was created for us.
That's true.
It's a very not politically correct thing to say that God created everything for human beings. So it's like when a store opens.
Why isn't that politically correct?
Because it's like we and the animals,
and we're
no better than, you know, than the animals, and we're just like part of the environment, and we're just like an evolved animal.
We're so great,
and we're not, and we need to. So it's yes, we're supposed to take care of the environment, but it's because it belongs to us. And Hashem warns us, like, if you mess this up, it's not like there's another set of human beings coming after you who's going to be able to take care of it. So everything was created for us, which tells us something else. Really. Very profound in its simplicity. We say the world was created for us. It doesn't just mean like, oh great, it belongs to me. It means that the world was created for us to be successful. That God put us in this workshop called this world with everything we need to fulfill our purpose. So lest we think like, well, I can't fulfill my purpose because I don't have what I need. It's like, yes, you do. You have the right air, even the sunlight, you know, all the studies they do on how our sleeping and our moods and our hormones, everything. We are so intertwined with creation, but it's not because we're just part of it. It's because it was made for us. That's a different, it's a slightly different perspective to have. It's based on the same information. You say, well, we're just made out of the same molecules as everything else. It's like, exactly, because it was made to match us. We were made to match it because it was made to help us. what also is made to help us, though, are some things that can get in our way, that can keep us from achieving. So my son Benjamin and I were talking this morning. He teaches a class for the girls who go to Shalavim for women. The yeshiva he teaches at is at Shalavim for boys, is a Shalavim for women. So he's teaching class, and when he drives into Jerusalem, he calls me on the phone. It's 11 o'clock at night for me and morning for him. So he was talking about, he was going to be talking about that this world is full of incredible blessings, beauty, everything we need. And at the same time, it is also filled with things that are called marchikim, from the word rachok, meaning far or distance, things that distance us from our goals. And our goal, our job,
we call them obstacles.
We call it the Yetzer Hara, we call it Satan, you can call it whatever you want. It is all these things that keep us from getting where we are going. But the things are often very pleasurable that distract us. So he uses as a metaphor, and I think he heard it from somebody else, or maybe he said himself, of you go to an airport and you have a flight to catch. But there's a duty-free shop. And you decide to go shopping, to the point that you miss your flight because you're so caught up shopping. It's like, well, wait a minute, you forgot the main reason why you, the only reason you're at an airport is to get on the flight. The shopping is just there because maybe you need something or
to distract you.
But if it becomes a distraction to the point that you forget why you were there, then you miss the whole point. So I was telling him that I think it was the airport in San Francisco. It's like Cherry Creek Mall. It's not just the duty-free shop. There's
Every shop.
Everything. There's everything. It's like, am I in an airport or I'm in a mall? To the extent that I had to ask the security people, where's the board that has the gates? Oh, he goes, oh, it's up there. And it was like up by the ceiling, you know. I said, people see that? He goes, well, actually, they don't. So that's why they ask us. I'm like, well, I'm like, you know.
Wait till they do DIS.
Yeah, that's funny.
The main idea is that you're going on a flight.
I have some friends who went on a cruise to go through the locks, the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
And they had a little day trip the day before, and they got delayed, and they missed the entire trip
through the Panama Canal.
Oh, no. It's true.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and so it's
a problem with getting off the ship.
Yeah.
That's right.
Some detour thing that didn't get back in time.
So it's, you know, it's a...
that's terrible, isn't it?
You know, in this world, we have things. So you do need to go shopping. You do need to get your things. And the things that are distracting, they cut both ways. So it's not like it's poison, that it's like, don't touch this. It's like, how can I use this in the right way so that it helps me? Like, I need my neck pillow, I need Dramamine, or whatever it is I need for my flight. I do need to go shopping, and I do need a gift for this person.
My anti-embolic stockings.
Yes, I need all those things for the trip, but I don't need to get totally distracted where I forget what I'm actually doing. So this is the nature of this world. So it's a beautiful mall, but it's an airport. So one of the girls in class said, but the metaphor doesn't really work because we don't know what time our flight is. We don't know like when we're going to be called back to heaven, and we don't know what time our flight is. So what are we supposed to do? I said, even more so, you have to pay attention. Then you're like a doctor on call because it could be any time. So for sure, you want to focus on what is essential and what is important, and you don't want to lollygag around because then when the flight, when you're called to board your flight home, they'll be like, oh, but wait, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It's like, well, then don't mess around. So this doesn't mean don't have fun. It doesn't mean don't enjoy. It means pay attention. Pay attention.
And where is it like written in the Torah that you're talking about? Is this like a...
This is from a book called This Metaphor.
Yeah.
This metaphor does not occur in the Torah since there were no airports.
I know, but
the idea of it is just that life is short. Mm-hmm. Like it comes as a purely as perceiving life is short. And life is short, and all you have to do is look around and see how distracted we get with things that are have no eternal value, our fleeting pleasures. And again, it doesn't mean not to have a good time or you're supposed to have pleasure, but we're supposed to keep our eye on the ball. So yes, go, have a coffee, do this, go that, and pay attention to what you're really doing. So in that way, the periscope of the Lamed is to keep our eyes on the big picture too, so that we use it as a constant place of like, where am I heading? So that I don't get lost in the in the shuffle there, because this world is very distracting. And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, distracting world.
But it's also a second metaphor. It's not just the metaphor of distraction or the Lashon Hara or all of that. It's also that Hashem has given us all of this stuff, but sometimes it's not easy to find it. And so we have to
find
to find whatever we need to be successful.
Main thing.
That's what I was saying. We don't sometimes know.
So it's not just a matter of a distraction. It's also a matter of having the right skills, thinking skills, critical thinking skills, of knowing. It's not like it's like right in front of me and I should see it. Because sometimes it's not right in front of me.
Okay, I think
sometimes
I understand what you're saying.
I need to work to find it.
To find, okay, I think I hear what you're saying. And tell me, Marla, also, if this is what you meant. So when we're talking about what we need to be successful, that we first started with basic things. If I'm feeling sick, I can't function. If I don't have food on my table, I can't function. Mm-hmm. If my house is a, you know, every people are fighting and whatever, and I don't have any peace of mind, I can't function. Now, there are plenty of people who are functioning with all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's just saying, Hashem, I could do a better job if I have, it's called menuchas nefesh, of like a peaceful spirit. So we need that to start with. But then we're talking about, never mind, okay, those, once you have the base, so you're talking about once you have the baseline, then what do I need? In order, is that what you're asking? Of what do I need to be successful?
Well, I guess I'll go back to using a metaphor like you did, is that if you're sick, you can sit home and pray, and you can hope that you're going to get better. Or in this modern day, you can go on the internet, you can find out as much information as you can, you can call your doctor, you can go searching for, you know, alternatives something different, something better, something new, something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that requires a certain amount of proactiveness, but also critical thinking skills. It's
for
not
sure.
Always the first thing.
For sure.
You know, but that you're looking for.
But those things are not your purpose.
No, but it's an ability that I have to see that Hashem has put all these things out there.
Yes.
I just need to figure out which one, how to go about finding it.
Okay, so that's one category of question.
Right.
Finding those answers. Same thing with you need a job. It's like, well, you need to write a resume,
right.
You need to make contacts, you need to make phone calls, you need to apply.
You just can't sit
right.
home and
you can't sit home and right.
Right.
So yes, and those things, that's true. Those things are not our purpose.
No,
and sometimes just because all those things are out there, that's not a good thing.
It's not always a good thing.
I don't think it's a good thing that all those things are out there for us to search on the internet. Because I gotta tell you, they're not all
legit.
No.
No, I know
and
that.
So
I was
sometimes
just using it as an example.
But
yes.
That's why sometimes
you get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So say more then, because I.
Well, I guess I'm just thinking about the fact that if Hashem puts everything out there, He gives us everything that we need to be successful. It's not always apparent to the person what that is, and it takes a certain amount of, whether it's self-reflection, but it's also, it's looking through the obstacles, it's looking through all the myriad of stuff out there to be able to say, that's the stone I need. I
right.
don't know what the metaphor is.
Okay, I hear you. So this is what you're saying, I think, is that yes, it's out there, and there are obstacles to get it. It's not on a silver platter.
At all.
It's not on a silver platter. And yet that is part of the goal. The part of the process of what it is, our purpose, is to search for it.
Right.
So that is the part.
So what you're saying, which was what I was saying, how do you know
what to search for?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So
right.
what you're so what you search for, so that's
right.
what I'm saying. So
and once you know what you're searching for, you've got to be able to know where to search for it.
Right.
And it's not always obstacles, because obstacles are are those things that distract you. But sometimes it's not a matter of obstacles. It's a matter of, where am I going to find this? What path is going to lead me to
Right.
this?
So, of course, we have an answer for that, which is the path is the path is going to lead us, and not just some people. The path that leads us to fulfilling our purpose is the Torah,
yeah.
because that's going to allow us to maximize our general human potential as well as our individual potential. Because remember when we talked about a long time ago that there are 248 positive commandments, and that they correlate to the 248 parts of our soul and 248 parts of our body. And that's this is for sure a correct gematria, not a wrong one. B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God, equals 248. It says if we want to actualize our potential, those are the pathways to it. And the 365 negative prohibitions are what keep us safe so that we can do it. So those are the don't eat the fried food, don't eat the, you know, cotton candy, all those things that your doctor tells you. And then the positives are you need to have fresh vegetables and fruits and grains, etc., and non-processed food. So all of those things, and in every area of our life, we struggle with knowing it and not knowing it, wanting to do it and not wanting to do it, and having the intellectual awareness. Some people don't even know. Some people are ignorant. And they don't know. Our first goal then is to find out, and then to find reliable sources that can help us. Just like you find a reliable source in your health, you don't want somebody saying, you know, do a 90-day colonic and you'll be great. It's like, no, you won't. You'll be dead. So, you know, it's, you know, but people are advertising that too. So there's also, we want things that are quick and obvious and not too hard. And what we're told in this life is, it's kind of like if it's too good to be true, it's not true. It's not. So the path is challenging, but it's like a slalom race. It's the obstacles are there, the challenge is there. That's part of the goal. That's part of the accomplishment, is going through the process of figuring it out. But we're supposed to do that with help. Rabbi Levin and I were talking about this the other days. People don't want to ask for help, and I'm not talking about just like when someone's in crisis, but when mm-hmm. someone's like, what should I be doing next? Mm-hmm. Like, what's next on my? I'm not sure what I should do. I've had conversations with people like this of, what should I be doing next? I'm like, what do you want to do next? What's even like a possibility? Don't pick the thing that is the least likely thing that you're going to do, because you'll never do it. So pick something that is in the direction of what you would like to do and accomplish.
So, I'm hearing two, there's probably more than two in terms of what you're supposed to be doing. One is to make your parnassa.
That's not your goal. That is a means. It's not an end.
Right. So a lot of people combine those.
For sure.
And that's, they're lucky.
Right.
If they find bliss, whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other is, to me, connection with God.
The whole thing is connection with God.
Right. So that's the goal.
That's the whole thing, is to be in relationship with Hashem so that you can be the recipient, so that you can have a completely, be a complete receptacle and receiver.
And to be doing what God wants you to do.
To do in this world, because God sent you into this world to be you.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean
that it's the same as yours.
It is definitely not, because if it's the same, then I don't need to be here.
Right.
So
Mara is saying that, that is how we are supposed to be, because we are, I'm just trying to think of which rabbi talks about that Jewish neshamas are seekers.
Right.
Even if they're not going on this path.
They are seekers.
They might be doing Buddhism, or they might, you know.
We excel at seeking.
I think it's Rabbi Spiro. So it's like every ism in the world, whether it's save the animals, save the whales, save the water, save the this, conservation,
all
whatever.
Jews.
The people that are high up and totally involved are usually Jewish people, which is so interesting. I mean, you even look at things like communism and just anything, any ism. And I just find that really interesting.
It's
and what happens is we don't necessarily go this way, which is connection with God and doing what God wants you to do. And maybe it's only me, but sometimes I think I intellectualize a lot of this way too much.
Probably.
Rather than just follow my heart. Because it's when I'm doing something that helps someone else that you just feel it. You just say, this is it. That's, you're just totally at peace. You know, whether it's, you know, a family member or a neighbor or whoever, somebody on the street, that we're supposed to be here to help God do for others, just like we're hoping that happens for ourselves.
Absolutely. And that's so, why our goal is not necessarily, because we live in a Western world and we associate with achievement in the professional world. This does not necessarily have anything to do with a job or a career or anything.
No.
It has to do with us as people, of who are we, of our character, our personal qualities, our refinement. That's what it is. We know it's not culture, because look what the Germans did, so for sure that wasn't it.
We know it's not about strength,
because look at what they did. So we know it's not about any of those things. We say that at Hanukkah, lo b'koach v'lo b'chayil, not by might and not by power, but by your spirit. Okay, that is, we're trying to focus on that. And that is what will allow us to achieve the other things as well. That's what allows us to achieve, use our talents. Because when we are aligned, then our talents become the most accessible to us. Because God did give us talents that are expressed in the physical world. You know, someone who's a violinist or an artist or someone who's a great cook or a cake decorator or a photographer or a
But those are not the goal.
Those are the goals. Those are the goals.
Okay, say that again. Okay, I thought those are the blessings we received and we're supposed to use them.
We are, because they help us. So for example, they help us fulfill, maximize who we are meant to be in this world.
Okay.
So God gave us our talents, and we're supposed to fully express them. I'm supposed to.
My goal is to be me. But we're supposed to do them in a very halachic way.
Exactly.
We're supposed to do it as if we are our scholars of Torah. We're not supposed to do it and be, for lack of a better word, a non-Jew or a secular Jew who doesn't have a Talmudic foundation.
It's supposed to be based. It is supposed to be based on Torah, because that is the most beautiful expression of it. So, for example, a person who is an artist who uses their talent to create vulgarity.
Right.
Well, but we could also go right back to the initial analogy, which is Carole King, who's absolutely beautiful music, but it's not, it's not necessarily, you know, Talmudic.
It's not halachic, and some of it is very inappropriate. I wouldn't be playing it in my house.
Right.
But it was beautiful, and there was a time in my life where I deeply, deeply appreciated it.
Yeah, we all did.
So it's beautiful.
Right. But you can appreciate what she's doing for her life and her goals.
Yes. Now, I don't want to get into judging her, because she's Jewish.
Right.
So that's the other thing. It's like a whole thing. So, right. Our goal is, so someone can be great. She could have been
even greater.
Right. She could have been greater. And that's why, you know, when people say, like, well, I could be this or that, it's like, that's not true. A person's, whatever talent a person has that God has gifted them with, can be used in an appropriate way. So they can't say, well, I can either be successful or I can be, you know, this little Jewish girl. It's like, that's not true.
Right.
Everything can be directed. That's, otherwise Hashem would not have given you that talent. That's just how it is. So our challenge then is, how do I find the right expression of that? And that's something that not everybody's up for. Not everyone's up for it.
And it's maybe a different discussion, but I always am like looking at these people and in the tribes, and I'm like, think about them, and think about what they thought, and how they made their, you know, we're talking about our world now, obviously, because we're here, but what did they do? They didn't have all these things that we've created. To me, if we bring it down a notch,
How did they have the faith to deal with that?
So because they had it, they were closer in their relationship with Hashem. I mean, those people were, they were the matriarchs and patriarchs of our people. They were closer. We're farther away. In fact, I listened to this great thing, and then we'll stop because I need to see somebody.
I have a class to go to.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Well,
we can continue.
We'll talk about next week. We can meet on the fast of Gedalia. We just won't be having any water. But
okay.
Yeah, we'll have class next.
Because to me, that really is what brings.
All right, everybody, I love you.
Love you.
I'll see you. I probably won't see you, but I'm
not. Walker. So like how we talked about God, G-A-D, last time. So then we will talk about Ephraim, because that's
Ephraim's
a bear.
Joseph's
son. So Jacob's grandson
grew up
in Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's the basis when we say, if you have boys, you say, Manasseh. May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh.
Manasseh.
Oh.
That's him.
Okay.
So
he's to get into the
blessing.
I like
it's more like how we live now.
It's just, yeah.
So we'll talk about Ephraim, and because that's and why he is the tribe for the month of Tishrei. So when we meet next Wednesday, it'll be the 3rd of Tishrei. So it'll be.
Oh wait, the 3rd of Tishrei. No, that was sorry. I had.
Okay, this concludes our class. Thank you.